Okay, today, welcome everybody. Today we're on Brachos Chaf Aleph, the Daf HaShavua, sponsored this week as every week by the Belmzers, OMO Construction. Appreciate the sponsorship. And today's Daf Chaf Aleph, we're starting on Chaf Amud Beis, a few lines up at the Mishnah. This Mishnah is assuming that two things. One thing that it's assuming is that we're familiar with the rule that if a man is a Balkeri, and that means that, good, and that means if a man has had seminal emission and ejaculated semen, it doesn't matter whether that's on his own or whether because there's his wife. Either way, the rule is that he's not permitted to learn Torah or Tefillah. Rashi says this is an action of Ezra, an institution of Ezra, and it looks like it's a din derabanan that Ezra was misaki in this. Rashi certainly talks that way. That is a din derabanan. We'll see in the Gemara that it looks like it might be din deoraisa. We're not familiar with this. We'll find out in next week's daf. And so the rule is that when a man is a Balkeri, there's a restriction against saying Torah Tefillah. So here's what this Mishnah says. It says, Balkeri meharher belibo. When a man is a Balkeri, what he has to do for Shema, this is talking about Shema, meharher belibo, he has to think the words of the Shema or read. You can have a sitter, you could read the words from the sitter, just he's not allowed to speak the words. The that's only Kriya Shema itself, the psukim, but not the brachos at all. He doesn't say them at all. He doesn't even maharher them, it seems. V'yal ha-mazon, and then, throughout the course of the day, if he eats, he has to bench, berkas ha-mazon. It says here, mevarech li'acharav, ve'enam mevarech lefanav. He's mevarech, and this is also through hirhur. So he's maharher. That means that he thinks the words of the benching. Liacharav, ve'enam mevarech lefanav. He doesn't say any bracha rishona, it says here. It's an interesting life, the Balkeri. Obviously, the expectation is, what's this all about? What this is all about is that the expectation is that you're going to go to a mikveh or a pseudo mikveh meaning that it could be even mayim she'uvim. It doesn't have to be a kosher mikveh. It just has to be like a pseudo mikveh, and possibly even a tisha kavin shower might be effective. And so the expectation is this was really intended, well, for different reasons. There are different motivations, but anyway, the point is that this was a law. We're not so used to it because we don't follow this practice, but that the Valkyrie has to wash up before tefillah, before saying Torah, and until he does so, he's not allowed to say brachos over eating. Apparently, he's allowed to eat, just not allowed to say brachos. And then it says, but birkas hamazon, he does behirhur. Then Rabbi Yehuda, the other Tana, that was Tana Kama's description. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, mevarech lifneihem uliachareihem. Rabbi Yehuda does require bracha. And Rashi says that he's mevarech bepeh even, which means it's, okay, Rashi doesn't say over here, but it's clear that he's mevarech even bepeh, that he doesn't have to be mahar here, he speaks the words. We'll see that in the Gemara. The Gemara now over here says, Amar Ravina. Ravina says, well, what's the whole concept of the Balkeri thinking the words of the Shema? Thinking the words of the Shema. So Ravina says, Zosa meres hirhur kedibur dami. Now for this issue, you have to remember a few weeks ago, a few dafim ago, we had a three-way machlokas in Tanaim about whether when you recite words that you require to recite, you have a mitzvah that involves speaking. So there is a multiple way machlokas Tanaim over here, whether you're required to hear the words when you recite them, and otherwise it doesn't count. Or you're required to recite the words, but if you didn't, it does count. Or you're not even required l'chatchila to hear the words as you recite them. But in all cases, it requires that you actually say words. This is a mitzvah involving dibur. So even though the words on the daf and Tesvav Amud Aleph, even though one of the opinions is Mevarech Velibo, that's even Lechatchila, but now in our daf, we're raising this question like this. We're saying, well, what if you just do Hirhur, which means you didn't even form the words in your mouth, you didn't even breathe out when you were kind of focusing on the words, all you did was Hirhur. You just thought of the words. Now, Hirhur, incidentally, is what I think, unfortunately, a lot of people who aren't sensitized to this do when they daven. They have the sitter open, and then their mouths are not doing anything. All they're doing is scanning words, maybe even thinking about the words. That's called Hirhur. So does Hirhur count as tefillah? Does Hirhur count as saying bracha? So this is what it says in our Gemara. Ravina, we'll see a machlokas. Ravina says, Zosa meres Hirhur is kedibur. That Ravina says, you see, that by thinking the words, that is tantamount to speaking the words. Of course, it doesn't mean that that's the right thing to do. That's subject to what we learned earlier. Earlier, we paskin, lechatchila, you're required to hear the words when you say them. So Hirhur obviously is not going to meet that standard. But anyway, at least it would count. So that's what we're being told, that Hirhur is the same as inaudibly reciting the words. So now, what is where we going to think so? The Isal Kadaitech Lav Kedibridami Lama Meharher. Because if Hirhur didn't count for anything, if Hirhur was just thought and didn't count as a mitzvah of Kriyas Shemav Dibur or anything, so why would we tell about Keri to do it? So it must be that it counts. So then, that's what the Gemara says. That Ravina's Medaik that from this halacha. So now the Gemara challenges Ravina. It says, well, hold on a minute. Telema, Hirhur is Kedibridami? But according to you, that Hirhur is the same as speaking, so Yotzi Bisfasav. So what do we tell him to do Hirhur at all? Tell him to speak out the words. Our answer is Kiryashkechem B'Sinai. No, even though the Hirhur counts as Dibor, there's still a difference. And that at Har Sinai, the men and the women were told they have to separate for a few days before Maimed Har Sinai. The reason why is because we wanted to ensure that at the time of Har Sinai, at the time of the revelation of Har Sinai, that everybody standing there, the men and the women, will not have this tumas keri. For the man, you didn't need 3 days. But for the woman, you needed 3 days, because she also could be a kind of a poletes zera. Poletes zera means the woman had zera inside her body. She had some semen inside her body, and then the semen rolls out, and that would make her tumea also to the same extent, and that might take even up to 3 days. That's the way they understand what Hashem meant when he was telling Bnei Yisrael, separate from each other for 3 days, so that both men and the women will not be Baalei Keri or Poletes at the time of the revelation, Har Sinai. And you see that the Chumash cares about that, and so that's why we don't want the Baal Keri to say the words. Now the logic is very missing over here. Is what was the assumption? We're saying that Hirhur counts as Dibur, and nevertheless, we're telling the Balkari, like Harsina, you have to not speak out the words. So it must be that what happened at Harsina was something other than a passive listening to what was being said. Because if all that they were doing was listening, and they still had to, that, if that's just Hirhur, if that's just Hirhur, they're just standing there listening to Hashem talking to them, so then that's Hirhur. So why do we insist that they not speak words for a Balkari and future generations to mimic the Maimed Har Sinai? So it must be that we have to say this, that what happened at Har Sinai is treated as speaking, as spoken Kabbalas Malchus Shemayim. So either because of something like, because they said, not a seven Israel, they actually spoke some words there, and those were words of commitment, like Kriya Shema, sort of. And so Hashem wanted everybody to be Tahor, maybe. Tosus has a very, very important argument, concept over here. Tosus say this. They say, no, it's the instrument of Shomea Ka'ona that makes it different from Hirhur. Hirhur is when you just think words. But if somebody else is speaking and I'm listening and I'm being shomeya, that's ka'ona, that is dibur. That's how Tosus write over here. It's going to be relevant on Amud Beis. We'll get to it later. So that's the way the Gemara says. The Gemara says that even if Hirhur is kedibur, we still don't want the Balkari to speak out words. Because you see from Har Sinai that for that you need to be not a Valkyrie. And Rav Chista, so anyway, what was the upshot of this? According to Ravina, Hir Hur counts as Dibor for any person. If they did Hir Hur, that counts as the Mekayim Kiyum HaMitzvah that involves Dibor. Rav Chista says that's totally backwards. Rav Chista Amar, Hir Hur is Lav Kedibor Dami. Hir Hur does not count as Dibor. Whenever Dibor is required, Hir Hur is insufficient, does not count. Disal Kedaita, Hir Hur is Kedibor Dami Yotzi B'Sfasav. His argument is that if Hir Hur counted as Dibor, so then presumably we're allowing the Balkari to do Hir Hur, so that means we would also be allowing him to be Motzi B'Sfasayim. So what do you gain by making him do Hir Hur? So that must be that Hir Hur doesn't count. Then Maris challenges back and says, well, if that's the case, so then what do you gain by telling the Balkari to do Hir Hur at all if it's worthless? Elama, Hir Hur is Lav Kedibor Dami, Lama Mehar Her. So Amar Rabbi Elazar, Kedei Shelo Yu Kol HaOlam Oskim Bo V'Hu Yoshev Batel. Rabbi Elazar explained what Rav Chista understood from the Tanayim, which is that even if you're not doing the mitzvah at all, because it doesn't count, but when everybody around you is saying Shema, you're required to join in. That's a general policy that we also follow now, that if you happen to be in shul when they're saying Shema, you must join in, because Lo Ye Kol HaOlam Oskim the Kriyas Shema, Kabbalas Malchus Shemayim, Vehu Yoshev Batel. The Gemara says, V'nigros V'firka Achrina. Well, why does it have to be Shema? Why can't it just be learning something else? After all, you don't want it to be Yoshev Batel, so tell him to do something else that he... Gemara says, no. Amar Avada Barava, B'davar Shetzibur Oskim Bo. The guy has to be joining in with the Tzibur in the thing that they are themselves doing, saying, Shema, in other words, Shema. We follow that, Shita. That's an important principle in a couple of other areas also. Whenever the chazan or somebody is saying that we are declaring something, so then people in the room are supposed to express their buy-in to that kind of a thing. So when the chazan says, Modim anachnu lach, people are supposed to join in. And theoretically, the Gemara says, not the Gemara has this, but Shulchan Aruch has this for Aleinu also. You should join in when the Tzibur is saying Aleinu, because we're making the statement, Aleinu, l'shrech l'adonai kol, so we should buy in. So anyway, that's the concept that's being expressed over here. Gemara asks, hold on a second, what about tefillah? The Harei tefillah. Now, it didn't mention anything here yet in that Mishnah about what does the Balkari do about tefillah. The Harei tefillah, Shmona Esrei. So it seems, let's see what happens. The Gemara asks, V'harei tefillah, we're in Chafal V'amadal finally. V'harei tefillah, davar she'atzibur oskim bo. Tefillah is something everybody around you is doing. V'tanan, and the Mishnah says later on, Hayomi b'tefillah v'nizkir shu balkeri. Let's say the person was in the middle of Shemona Esrei and he remembered, oh, I'm a balkeri and I didn't have a chance to go and tovel or shower or whatever the balkeri needs to do. Lo yafsik. Ella Yakatzer. You can't continue davening because presumably that's not allowed for a Balkari, but neither do you stop in the middle. So what we tell you to do is Yakatzer. That's what it says in the Mishnah later on. So you see the Gemara says, Yitaima de Aschil. Hello Aschil, lo Yaschil. So you see that in theory the concept is that the Balkari is not supposed to say Shemona Esrei, even though everybody around him is saying Shemona Esrei. So what kind of a rule is that? That if everybody's doing something, you have to join in. So Gemara says, well, that's tefillah. There's no such rule that if other people are praying, you have to join in with the prayer. That's not a song that compels you. Shiny tefillah, de lesba malchus shemayim. Tefillah is not an expression of Kabbalah malchus shemayim. Gemara says, well, if that's the way you have to think about it, according to, again, Rav Chista, then how do you explain Birkas HaMazon? The Harei Birkas HaMazon, which the Mishnah says that he does have to say, Behir Hur anyway. So, Behar Birka Samazon Liachorav, the less of Malchus Shemayim, Utanan Alamazam Evarach Liachorav, and Evarach Lefanav. And besides, there's no people around you anyway for Birka Samazon necessarily. This is a solo activity. So the whole concept doesn't work. It breaks down. The Gemara says, oh, okay, fine, you're right. Ella, there's all Girsa problem going on here with these lines, but the Girsa that Rashi prefers is the one that we have in our Gemara. Ella, Kriyas Shema Birchas HaMazon D'Oraisa, Utfila D'Rabbanan. So we changed the whole explanation. which really could revoke the whole concept, but we're not. So all we're doing is we're saying the following. No, no, no. Here's what's going on in the Mishnah. The reason why, even though here it doesn't count for anything, but we want to at least be maharher those things that the Torah itself mandated. What are those things? What are those things? So according to this opinion, those things are Shema, not the brachos of Shema, and yes, Birkas HaMazon, not any other parts of the davening, not tefillah, for example. That would be also only a few of the Rabbanim. So that's the way our Gemara reads. So that's how this, that's how the Gemara leaves it at the moment, which is seems to be committing to the following interesting policies. That Shema is a mitzvah d'oraisa. That part doesn't really shock us or anything. We would have expected to hear that. And tefillah, Shemona Esrei, is a mitzvah d'rabanan. That might or may not shock us. But and Birkas HaMazon is d'oraisa. We all know that. So now let's take a look. The Gemara kind of pursues this issue about the d'oraisa d'rabanan. Amar Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda is an Amora. Rav Yehuda the Amora says, Minayin l'Birkas HaMazon li'achareha min haTorah. Where do you see the requirement to bench after eating Minotaur? That's not really a question. That's more of a rhetorical lead-up question, because the Gemara never really asks questions that are Mefurash Bikra. So the Gemara over here is just making a point. It's setting it up. It says this, Minayin, you know, this is Rabbi Yehuda the Amora speaking. He says, you know, where do you see the requirement to bench Del Raisa? Shenemar, like it says in the Pasuk, you have to eat, you have to bench. V'yachalt v'svata v'yirapta v'sharm alokach. So that's Mefurash Bikra. Then the Gemara says, well, and in a seemingly unrelated way, how do you know that Yinayin Lebrichas HaTorah Lefaneha Min HaTorah? And how do you know, and where do you see that requirement that before learning Torah, you have to say a bracha? That comes from Shenamar Ki Shem Hashem Ekra Havagadol Elokeinu. Rashi explains what the where you see from the Pasuk, the requirement to say Brichas HaTorah before saying, before learning Torah, before speaking the Torah. So, anyway, so what did he do? He just set up here a requirement of for eating a bracha achrona and for learning a bracha rishona, del raisa. So now, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, lemadnu birchas haTorah liacharecha min birchas hamazon mikal vachomer uberchas hamazon liacharecha lefaneha min birchas haTorah mikal vachomer. So Rabbi Yochanan says, you know, you put these two together, and what comes out is a good logical argument that ought to compel you to say that for both eating and learning, you have to say both bracha bishona and bracha achrona. What's the logic? Ma mazon she'ein ton lefanav ton liacharav. When you eat, which the Chumash doesn't say explicitly that you're required to say a bracha rishona, but it does say you have to say a bracha achrona. The Torah, where the Torah itself tells you have to say a bracha rishona, wouldn't it also follow that you should be compelled by logical argument to say a bracha achrona? And again, isn't it clear, isn't it reasonable that shetu'una li'achareha, that you need a bracha achrona too, even though it doesn't explicitly say so? Birchas HaMazon lefanav, and Birchas HaTorah, mikal v'chomer, ma Torah she'ein tu'una li'achareha, tu'una lefanav, mazon she'ein li'achareha, v'nedin she'ein to'un lefanav. Wouldn't you say the same argument for eating? The Torah says you have to eat, say the bracha after eating, but it doesn't say anything about bracha rishona. Yet from Torah you see that the Torah requires explicitly a bracha rishona. Wouldn't it follow as well that you should have to say bracha rishona before eating as well? The Gemara says the whole thing doesn't make any sense at all. Ika lemifrach, you could challenge both sides. Ma'alam mazon shekein nehana. The bracha over benching is when you had hana. You didn't have hana yet, so there's no reason to argue that you should have to say bracha rishona. And matorah shein chaya olam. Chaya olam, so that's supposed to be an argument for why you say bracha rishona and not necessarily bracha achrona. Presumably, the argument is going to be, we should have to think about this, but it's saying that before you do the limud, you set up the context through the bracha. Either way, the point is that it's not comparable to eating. And so therefore, there's no reason to extend what you know about what the Torah says about eating to Torah learning. In which case, the whole thing falls apart. That there's no argument for bracha rishona, d'oraisa for food, as we all know. And there's no requirement for bracha achrona over learning at all, even the Rabbanan, which we also know. And then anyway, the Gemara clinches this with a proof from the Mishnah by saying, V'yod, Tanana, Lamazin, V'varech le'achor aveinu, V'varech le'fanav. And anyway, the Mishnah is very clear that the Balkari only has a dispensation to say the bracha achrona, not bracha rishona, because that's the oraisa, as we just said earlier, at least according to Chista Tiyufta. So that proves that the whole argument falls apart. All right, we didn't take the argument all that seriously anyway at this point. When we'll maybe get back to that argument later on when we get to the sixth pair. A couple of rules here about that question of the Raisa de Rabbanan. I'm a Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda, the Amora, continues as follows. This on the side, they tell you that other places in Shas where this comes up, the Rishonim quote this as not Rabbi Yehuda on his own, but Rabbi Yehuda quoting Shmuel. It relates to stuff later on here. So what does it say? Safek kara kriya shema, safek lo kara. What if you're not sure if you recited the Shema? This is more common than I guess you might imagine just sitting here, because it really also is asking the question of whether I did the Shema k'mitzvah. Safek whether I did the Shema k'mitzvah. Like whether I left out words and these kinds of things that would be ma'akev. Either way, the point is that if you're not sure whether you said Shema, what do you do? So in general, we should be guided by the principle of Sveka de Oraisa l'chumra, Sveka de Rabbanan l'kula. That should be the guiding principle. And so Rabbi Yehuda says, Sveka kara kriya shema, Sveka lo kara, eino chozer rekore. He says you do not have to recite the Shema just to be safe, because presumably he's holding that kriya shema is only a fi of de Rabbanan. But if Sveka amr emes v'yatsiv, Sveka lo amar, but what if you are not sure whether you said MSV Yatsiv, Savig Lo Amar. So then, Choser V'Yomer, MSV Yatsiv. That is higher stakes, because MSV Yatsiv is a mitzvah deoraisa. Which mitzvah deoraisa? Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim. My taima. So now the Gemara is going to analyze this shita. Why is he mechalik? Why does he say you don't have to recite Shema again just to be safe? Because Kriya Shema Derabanan. Why do you have to say MSV Yatsiv to be safe? Because MSV Yatsiv is the Raisa. So Masiv Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef, the Amar, says to him, what are you saying? B'shach b'chol v'kumecha. The Pasuk says you have to recite the Shema twice a day. It's pretty explicit. It's a funny kind of a rejection, of a reaction. But anyway, that's what it does. Rav Yosef, the Amar, says, B'shach b'chol v'kumecha. So Amar Lei Abayi. So Abayi responds to Rav Yosef. Well, no, Ahu b'divrei Torah k'siv. Ahu b'divrei Torah k'siv. That pasuk is only requiring that you spend some time learning, not necessarily that it have to be the words of Shema. That's a pretty remarkable position to take, because if you read the rest of the psukim, using the same pronoun, the same referent, the same antecedent, hadvar ma'ela, and then it says, uksharta muksavta. So those words are the only words that you are putting in the tefillin and the mezuzah. So we're obviously focusing on these words specifically. So it's a funny shita. But anyway, that's what he says. According to this view, the mitzvah of Kriya Shema, specifically to say these words, Dirabbanan. So now they have them going to ask, the reason this came up now is because it has to do with our Mishnah that's talking about Shema rather than the brachos for the Balkari. So we're raising now that point here. Tanan, hold on a minute. Balkari mahar b'libo v'enem v'varach lo l'fanav v'lo li'achareha v'yal amazim v'varach li'achareha v'enem v'varach l'fanav. V'yisal garaytech emes v'yatziv d'oraisa livrich li'achareha. So now here's the, listen to the way it's being presented here. It says, hold on a minute. The Mishnah says that the Balkari has to say Shema, but doesn't say brachos, rishona or achrona. Now if emes v'yatziv were achiyav deoraisa for the mitzvah of Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim, and we're not satisfied with Shema, the one line of Shema at the end of the Shema saying, Asher Atzesias Chemeretz Mitzrayim, if that's not sufficient, so then the Balkari ought to be, in addition to saying Shema, you should have to also say Emes V'yatziv. V'yisal karaytach Emes V'yatziv deoraisa, the Balkari should have to be maharher that too. So the Gemara says, well, why? My time in Mevarech. Well, why would you insist on that? So now the Gemara is rejecting and saying, well, hold on a minute. But if you said Shema, then that covers you. So Even though you didn't have to say Shema, but if you do say Shema, then that would cover your requirement of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. So that's why it says in the Mishnah, the Balkari has to say Shema, and he doesn't any longer have to say Emes V'Yetziv. So Gemara says, well, hold on. V'neimaha V'loli Boiha. So then why do we insist that he say Shema? Let him say Emes V'Yetziv. Once the Shema itself wasn't individually required, then why did they choose that you recite the Shema and not Emes V'Yetziv? The Gemara says, okay, well, if it's going to be one or the other, Shema is better. Kriya Shema Difa Disba Tarti, because it has both. It has Kabbalah Samachas Shemaim as well as Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. So it's true, it could have gone either way, but the Tanaim wanted him to say Shema. That was all according to Rabbi Huda, or Rabbi Huda quoting Shmuel. But Rabbi Elazar, the other Amora, says the whole thing is backwards. Amar Savik, he says the following. Savik kara kriya Shema, Savik lo kara. If you're not sure whether he recited the Shema, you better say the Shema again. You better say Shema again. You're required to be played safe. But if Savik hispalel, Savik lo hispalel, ain't a choser umispalel. Now Rabbi Elazar then goes on to say, but if you're not sure if you said tefillah, you don't have to say again. Because presumably that's only a chiv derabanan. So you don't have to play it safe. You can assume the best. You can assume if you didn't say tefillah, you have to say. But if you might have, you're not sure. You can't reconstruct. Okay, well, that's a little harder to explain how that came about. But anyway, you're not sure. So then, ain't a chozer mispal. You don't have to. Rabbi Yochanan Amar ulevay sheyispal adam kol yom kulo. Rabbi Yochanan says, I don't know. I would say that he has to say it again because there's no downside. Ulevay sheyispal adam kol yom kulo. It's great. The better thing is that a person should be inspired to say tefillah kol yom kulo. Okay, so what did we get out of the Rabbi Elazar shita? Rabbi Elazar holds clearly that tefillah rabbanan, that's clear. Rabbi Elazar holds that savik ara kriya shema, you have to repeat. It's likely that that's because that he's holding like what appears to be the more common view here, which is kriya shema is mitzvah d'oraisa. And Rabbi Yochanan just picked on that one little detail, which is, I think that if you're not sure about tefillah, you better say it again, because tefillah is the kind of thing that you ought to be saying every day, all day long, theoretically. Now, interestingly, we're going to have to see a little bit more of that as we move forward. When it comes to this mitzvah, this question about whether Kriya Shema is fundamentally a chiv d'oraisa or d'rabbanan, you can never really tell whether any particular action that you're doing is d'oraisa or d'rabbanan, because observers will see the same thing. So it's just an academic question. Is Kriya Shema d'oraisa or d'rabbanan? It might be this question over here about Savik or Kriya Shema. That might be the difference. So what's absolutely astounding is that we're all used to thinking Shema is d'oraisa, which is what the Rambam does write. But the Tosfos, in several places, they follow this other opinion, that Kriya Shema is really only a din d'rabbanan, that Kriya Shema is not required d'oraisa. They actually go with this Divrei Torah, this concept that the Kriya Shema does not directly require, the Torah doesn't directly require reciting the Shema. That seems to be what the first Tosfos in the Masechta looks like they're using when they're makel about the Zmanim of Kriya Shema. This Tosfos over here, the Tosfos on in Sota, they seem to hold that way, that Kriya Shema is only a chiv d'rabbanan. Okay, now the Gemara goes on. V'yom Rabbi Yehuda Amr Shmuel. Rabbi Yehuda now quotes Shmuel saying as follows. Hayaome b'tfila v'nisker shehispalel. Let's say a person was in the middle of Shemona Esrei and just remembered in the middle of Shemona Esrei that they already said this Shemona Esrei already. Harder to imagine this for Shacharis, but it's very easy to imagine it for Mincha Maariv. What with people davening early minyanim and late minyanim and whatever. So what do you do when you're in the middle of Shemona Esrei and you remember in the middle of Shemona Esrei that you already said this Shemona Esrei before? So here's what he says. Posek, afilu b'yemtza bracha. Stop what you're doing. Afilu b'yemtza bracha. Because what you just said was unnecessary. You can't, and you don't have to continue. Some Rishonim learning means you don't have to continue, and some Rishonim say you cannot continue. the Rambam and the Ravid seem to have a machlokas about that. Does it mean posuk you have to stop or you can stop, even v'yemtze bracha? We take the view that it means posuk you have to stop. Aini, wait a minute. So there are, the other Amoraim are asking on Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, v'hamar Rav Nachman, ki avinim bei rabba barvua. But we have the following report from Rav Nachman. He says, when we used to visit Rabbi Barvua's house, bon mine, hani b'nei b'rav d'to matkari d'chol b'shabbos. What do you do about these guys who on Shabbos, they say a weekday Shemona Esrei. They're in the middle of the weekday Shemona Esrei. So we all know this is the kind of a thing that's much more common, easy to visualize. What do you do? Maho sheyigmaru, should they just keep going and saying the weekday Shemona Esrei? The Yomer Lan, so he told us that here's the halacha. Gomrim kol osa bracha. What you do is you finish that bracha and then you switch over into the Shabbos Shemona Esrei. So you see, the Gemara considered that to be a challenge to what was just said before, that if you're in the middle of the Shemona Esrei, realizing that you don't need this Shemona Esrei, this is the wrong Shemona Esrei because you already said it, so then you abort in the middle. So why aren't we being told the same thing regarding that if it's on a Shabbos and you said a week, saying that you're in the middle of a weekday Shemona Esrei? Gemara says, Achi Ashta, what kind of a comparison is that? Asav Garva Bar Chiyuvahu V'Rabbanahu Deluachuchu Mishim Kavod Shabbos. Oh, in the case of Shabbos and weekdays, I have to say Maariv or Shachar, so whatever the tefillah is. And I'm saying the tefillah that I'm required to say, just that the words are different. So now what? So over here, the Gemara says an astounding explanation for why did the Chazal change the words of the Shemona Esrei from weekday to Shabbos. Astounding. This is what it says. It says, V'rabbanahu delov atrehuhu mishim kavod Shabbos. The only reason why the Anshe Knesset HaGedola composed a brief Shemona Esrei on Shabbos is out of Kavod Shabbos. Otherwise, it would be appropriate for you to say your regular weekday Shemona Esrei on Shabbos V'Yom Tov. And since really and it's the right thing to be doing, just that the Chazal let you off easy and they made the davening shorter, exactly whatever the logic is here, but that was the way we're being told here, is that they made a short Shemona Esrei on Shabbos out of Kavod Shabbos. Anyway, point is that if you're saying a weekday Shemona Esrei during Shabbos, then there's nothing seemingly wrong with doing that, just that it's not what they wanted you to do. And so if you find yourself in the middle of the Shemona Esrei, correct it by simply finishing that bracha and then go into the Shabbos Shemona Esrei the way they wanted you to do it. So that doesn't compare at all to this case, which is of halacha, where you already said, Marvi, you had no business saying any Shemona Esrei right now. Hatzalile, you already said your tefillah, so that's why we tell you abort, and there's no comparison to the Shabbos rule. Incidentally, the Shulchan Aruch does quote that rule, that if you're in the middle of Shemona Esrei, you do finish that bracha that you're in, and then you move into the Shabbos Shemona Esrei. And a lot of the poskim point out that this is really remarkable, because the Shulchan Aruch also says you're not permitted to say a weekday Shemona Esrei on Shabbos. So it seems to be against this. Why would the Shulchan Aruch tell you not allowed to say a weekday Shemona Esrei on Shabbos? Because this is not something that it says anywhere in the Talmud Bavli. But the Talmud Yerushalmi does say that the reason why they put Havdalah first, listen to this very interesting argument. Why did they make Havdalah in Atachonein? So we're going to discover later on, and Talmud Bavli gives one explanation for that later on in the Masechta. But the Talmud Yerushalmi says, well, we have to say Havdalah there before we jump into our weekday Bakashot. You have to first say Havdalah, and then you can say weekday Shemona Esrei, because you couldn't say the weekday Shemona Esrei while it's Shabbos. So that's not the explanation that Bavli has, but that is the Talmud Yerushalmi's explanation. And so that's a little funny that the Shulchan Aruch quotes both this line here, which says, finish the bracha because in theory you could be saying a whole weekday Shemona Esrei and Shabbos, and also quotes, you're not permitted to say a tefillah chol b'Shabbos. It's just interesting. All right, two dots. The Yom Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Rabbi Yehuda quotes Shmuel saying the following, Hispalel v'nichnas lebeis ha-kneses. Let's say the person said the tefillah already and then comes to shul. So you're ready davened. And now you're in shul. And then you see the tzibur about to say Shmona Esrei. So what do you think? Should you join them? Can you join them or not? So you've already davened, so you don't have to join them. But what do you say? Can you join them? So here's what it says. Im yachol lachadesh badavar, yachzor v'yispaleo. If you could say a Shmona Esrei and lachadesh badavar, and personalize your Shmona Esrei, where you are inserting into the brachot of the Shmona Esrei at least one, maybe all of them. The Rambam talks like all of them, but at least one. Then fine. Then start a whole new Shmona Esrei as a voluntary nedava and lechadesh badavar and personalize it in some way, and then join them. Sure. V'im laval yechzor v'yispalel. But if not, you can't just jump in there and say the tefillah with them. You've already davened already. You can't daven again twice if you've already davened. So that's very fascinating. Now, if you remember, just remember on the top wide line, the first of the wide lines over here, of Yochanan made in a comment, well, the Vaishi spell out him kala yom kulo. The person should be saying Shmona Esrei all day long. So that doesn't jibe with this statement over here, which is that you cannot say your tefillah all day long. It'd have to be mechadesh davar. So all the Rishonim make that comment. They say when Rabbi Yochanan says that you should be saying Shmona Esrei all day long, it means only if you're going to personalize the tefillah. If you're going to personalize your customize the tefillah, so then say your tefillah all day long. But if not, then no. Then you shouldn't be saying tefillahs nedava. Nedavas are supposed to be personalized. So now the Gemara says tericha. We've had now two statements that express the same concept, which is not to double your Shmona Esrei. Meaning that if you're in the one statement that if you're in the middle of Shmona Esrei when you had already said your tefillah, then you stop in the board in the middle. And this one which says that if you're in shul now and you already said your tefillah, don't start with them unless you can mechadesh davar and make it an edava. The Gemara says, tzricha. Yes, they're both saying the same type of thing, but I needed to be told both. V'yash mu'inan kamaisa. Because if I had only known that first rule, that if I'm in the middle of Shmona Esrei and I realize I already said the Shmona Esrei, maybe that was when I'm by myself. Or maybe that was if I said both Tfilos Vitzibur. But Tzibur Vitzibur, so I'm at base. Aval Yachid Lagabi Tzibur. But maybe if my first Tfilah was V'yachid and now I'm in Shul, maybe Kamanda Lot Soli Dami. So Kamash Berlin, that's why I had to tell me the second rule. The second rule, which is, even if I said my tefillah v'yachidus and now I'm in shul, I can't say another tefillah with them, even though that gives me the benefits of tefillah v'tzibur, unless I could make a chidush davar. V'yesh mo'yinan ocha mishum de'lo aschilba, avalasim v'yaschilba emalo. And the reason why I had to tell me the first rule, that if I'm in the middle of Shmona Esrei, I board in the middle, is because, well, all I was told from the second rule is not to start, but it doesn't tell me how to cope with a situation where I've already started and I'm in the middle. So that's what the first rule tells me, that I abort in the middle. Amar Rav Huna. Rav Huna now tells me the following. Okay, this happens a lot. Let's say you come into shul, and this is most common for mincha, I guess, and possibly Maariv. You come into shul and you see the tzibur has already started Shmona Esrei. So what do you do? Do you join them or not? So this is not relevant for Marv. This is only relevant for Shacharis or Mincha. You could also imagine, incidentally, even though it's hard to imagine this for Shacharis, let me just point out that in a world without clocks, where you don't have a clock and the shul doesn't have a clock, so you're going to never really know exactly when they're starting and when they're supposed to start and when you're supposed to start and when you have to get there, whether you're on time or late and whatever. And so I have to imagine that in a clockless world, this happened more often, possibly even for Shacharis. So it says over here that if you come into shul and they're in Shmona, and they already started Shmona Esrei, and you have the prerogative to start Shmona Esrei, it seems that you're going to just start with them. Is that smart to do or not? If they've already started, so can you join them? This happens all the time for Mincha. So let's focus on Mincha. So here's what it says. We're going to see two opinions about this. So versus Rav Huna, first opinion. If you judge, you can only guess, if you judge that you that when the when you start your Shemona Esrei, you'll be able to finish your Shemona Esrei in time for the Chazan to be up to Modim. That means that you've budgeted, you've imagined how much time it's going to take for them, for the quiet Shemona Esrei, and for the repetition to get all the way up to Modim. So if you judge you have enough time to do that, then fine. Yaschil. Yispalel. V'yimlav al yispalel. But if not, so then it's not smart to start now. Wait until after the Chazar Sashah. So you stop and be a fetus. Rabbi Shimon Levi, Amar. Rabbi Shimon Levi says, no, no, that's not the right standard. That's not what you do. He says, you have to judge how much time you'll have until the Chazan gets up to Kedusha, much earlier. So now, the Gemara asks, well, what are they fighting about? The Gemara says that the Rav Huna's Shita was that you can say Kedusha b'yachidus if you're in a minyan. You can't say it at home, but you can say Kedusha b'yachidus on your own. And so you're not going to lose Kedusha. You're not going to lose Kedusha somehow by being in the middle of your Shemona Esrei when the Chazan gets up to Kedusha. What you're going to just do is, I guess, nothing. And then when you're finished, you'll say Kedusha. I guess that's what he's imagining. And Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, you can't do that. You can only say Kedusha with it together in unison with everybody around you. And so since you would be stuck in Shemona Esrei, you would have to be forfeiting Kedusha, and therefore, that's not worth it. So that's the argument that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is saying. Since you would be forfeiting Kedusha, it's not worth it. Okay, now, before we even continue, hold on. This triggers a really big issue in the Rishonim, which is, in a general sense, this rule that we're seeing over here is what happens when you come into shul late. What if I'm not in shul late? What if I'm just slow? So I'm in shul, and the tzibur gets up to Kedusha. What do I do if I'm in Shemona Esrei? That's an issue that the Rishonim said. Now, interestingly, the main sugya, half of the sugya is here, half the sugya is in Sukkah. So Rashi in Sukkah says, here's what you have to do. You stop Shemona Esrei. You stop Shemona Esrei, and you listen to the Chazan, and by doing so, you get Kedusha. You get Kedusha that way. And then you can continue. Poskim nowadays incidentally point out that if you think that it's going to affect your Kavana because you're focusing, you're paying attention to what you're saying, then you're permitted to stop and listen, but you're not required to stop and listen. So then don't bother and just keep going. Like if you don't have a sitter or something and you're afraid you're going to lose your spot, or you're afraid that it is going to go wrong, then fine. Then just keep going. But if you can pay attention, you have a sitter or something, so then you listen to the Chazan. And Tosfos over here say, that is impossible in light of what our Gemara is saying. Our Gemara is saying that you can't start Shemona Esrei because you'll forfeit Kedusha by doing that. But if stopping and listening counts for Kedusha, then you didn't forfeit anything. Then you may as well stop. And therefore, that can't be what's going on. So that's what Tosfos points out. Tosfos holds that you can't stop. You just keep going and ignore the tzibur. And that's the expectation here in our Gemara. The Shulchan Aruch passes like Rashi against Tosfos, that you do stop, you do listen, and we split the halacha. We say as follows, Shemaya Ka'ona, so it's as if you said Kedusha, but Hirhur is not Kedibra dummy, like we said earlier, we hold that way, and therefore, that's not a hefsek in the Shemona Esrei. So if that's the case, what's the logic of our Gemara saying, don't start if you're not going to be able to get in time for Kedusha? Over here says, because as much as your Shemaya Ka'one works for Kedusha, that's a legal argument, but the reality is that Kedusha is like Kulam Ke'echad Onim V'Omrim. Kedusha is something that you're supposed to be contributing to. You're supposed to be adding your voice to the Kedusha. So the proper way to say Kedusha is Bekol Rash Gadol. So that's why you lost that aspect. And that aspect you would be forfeiting in the middle of your Shemona Esrei. So that's where We follow Rashi's Shita and Sukkah rather than the Tosfos over here, even though our Gemara says that that consideration is enough to tell you to stop your attempt at saying Tefillah B'Tzibur and you'd be stuck with Tefillah B'Yachid. So then the Gemara, let's see how fast we can go for the next, at least to get down farther. It says here, well, what's the bottom line over here as far as Kedusha goes? Why do you have to have a minion for that? How do you know that a yachid can't say kedusha on his own? Because as pasuk says, "V'nikdashti b'soch b'nei Yisrael." Nikdashti is kedusha. That means kiddush Hashem has to happen in a tzibur. V'nikdashti b'soch b'nei Yisrael. Kol davar shebe kedusha lo heipachas me'yasara. Any davar shebe kedusha needs a minion. My mashma. Where do you see anywhere b'soch b'nei Yisrael needs a minion? The Tani Rabbanu Yachud the Rabbi Chiya bar Abba Asya toch toch because it's Zereshava. Pasuk says here, Kiddush Hashem has to be B'soch B'nei Yisrael. K'siv Hasam, and the Korach story, it says, Yibadu mitoch Eira Hazos, separate from the Toch Eira Hazos. And how big was that Eira? It doesn't say. So on the side of the Gemara, they tell you on the side, well, this argument has one more step to it, which is another Xavier Shava, Eira Eira, to the Meraglim. And the Meraglim, the 10 bad Meraglim, so that's how you see that you need a minion for Kiddush Hashem. Malahalana Saraf Kana Sara. With a kuli alma mehas mifsek lo pasik. But everybody agrees that if you're in the middle of Shemana Esrei, you're not permitted to interrupt. Iboy lahu. So they were wondering, Mahu lahafsik liheshmo agadol mevorach. What about Yeheshme Rabba? Is that different? Kiasa Rav Dimi Yama Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Shimon Talmid Rabbi Yochanan Amri Lakol in mafsik in chutz meheshmo agadol mevorach. Shafilov Osik b'maisa Merkava posek. So they all quote from Rabbi Dimi, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Talmid, Rabbi Yochanan. They say you do stop, you do interrupt for Yeheshme Rabba. But we don't paskin like that. We paskin no interruptions even for Yeheshme Rabba. I just want to point out a very fascinating anomaly, which is we know Yeheshme Rabba is an Aramaic sentence in Kedusha and Kaddish, which is Aramaic. And the whole Gemara is here is in Aramaic. For some strange reason, they wrote Yehei Shemo Hagadol Mevorach in Hebrew. It's unclear to me. I don't really understand what happened over there. Was Kaddish a Hebrew thing at one time, or sometimes Hebrew? I don't know. Two dots. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mevorach Lefaneim Aliyach Rehem. Rabbi Yehuda says that you say the Bracha Rishon and Bracha Achrona. That's Rabbi Yehuda argues against the Tanakhama about what the Balkeri does before he went had a chance to go to Mikvah. The Gemara says, "Lameimra de kasav Rabbi Yehuda Balkeri mutar b'divrei Torah." Does this mean that Rabbi Yehuda denies the whole concept of Balkeri not being allowed? What's called Takanas Ezra, but it can't be. V'ha'am Rabbi Yehuda ben Levi, but Rabbi Yehuda ben Levi says the following: he says, "Minayin the Balkeri shas b'divrei Torah." How do you know this rule that the Balkeri is not permitted to say divrei Torah until he goes to mikvah? Shene'emar ve'odatim levanecha ve'levnei vanecha yom asher amadatu lefnei Hashem echalav bechorev. The pasuk says, "Maimar Har Sinai v'samach lei," meaning you have to teach about Maimar Har Sinai v'samach lei. No, the odata levanecha v'levnei vanecha implies that you have to teach your children v'samach lei yom asher amarta. And the pasuk continues to say, "Yom asher amarta." Malaha lan balikarin asurin afkan balikarin asurin. Just the limit from Har Sinai. So now let's stop here for a second. This is obviously giving us what appears to be a drasha. And we're going to see as we go further that we're actually using drasha policies and principles, which sounds like a real drasha. All drashas have the status of doraisa. So it sounds like this is a doraisa, not a takana. It's an interesting question about this din of tefillah lebalikarin. Is that a din doraisa derabanan? It sounds like from over here it's doraisa. Rashi keeps saying, and it's only an asmachta. So wait a second. So that we said, Rabbi Shimon Levi tells us that's a pasuk. So is Rabbi Yehuda deny that? Does Rabbi Yehuda deny? Not that he's unable to. Just that's the question: is he denying that drasha or is that asmachta? So let's see. Maybe Rabbi Yehuda denies that because maybe he holds that you can't make a drasha of smuchin, and that's not a valid method of drasha making. But Rav Yosef tells us that all Tanayim, even the ones who generally avoid making a drasha on smuchin, they will say you make a drasha in Sefer Dvarim, which is what this pasuk is from. Perek Dalet. So to her, because we know this about Rabbi Yehuda himself. He personally is one of those people who denies smuchin in general, but yes in Devarim. Where do you see that? Well, we're going to have to see two halachos. One halacha where Rabbi Yehuda denies smuchin outside of Devarim, and another halacha where he accepts smuchin inside of Devarim. Dar Rabbi Yehuda lo darish smuchin b'chol ha-Torah kula of a mishnah Torah darish. How do you know? B'chol ha-Torah kula min alam to lo darish desanya, because the Brisa says like this. Benaza yomer. Ne'emar mechashef alo sechaya, ve'ne'emar kol shchevim behema mos yumas, sam chuinyin lo lomar, ma'ashochevim behema beskila, af mechashefa beskila. What onesh is prescribed for the person who engages in some kind of witchcraft, if you can ever determine that? So then what is the prescribed punishment? It says the death penalty. Which form of the death penalty? So Benazai says, well, you have a smicha, a smuchin to, from machashefa to bestiality, which is beskila. So Amar Le Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda said to him, the other Tanna Rabbi Yehuda says, I don't see that at all. The Chum Yipnei Samcha Winyan Lo Notzi Lazel Eskila. Just because the Chumash wrote the one halacha next to the other, you're going to actually make a halachic inference from one? Well, that's what smuchin always does. So he obviously is rejecting the whole principle of smuchin. Ella, he says, I agree that it's skila. It's not from here, though. It's from a different thing. Ella, ovi yedoni bechla kol bechashvim hayu. Ella, mayatzu lach, kish lahan lo marlach, ma ovi yedoni beskila, mechashefa beskila. Rabbi Yehuda has a different principle. What we call dover shahaya bechla, v'yatzu min akla lalameid, lo lalameid al atzva yatza, el lalameid al kalkula yatza. That mechashefa is a general category. Ovi yedoni is a specific, and that's explicitly beskila. So it tells me the whole principle, the whole kalal of Mechashef is Biskila. So that's Rabbi Yehuda denying smuchin, yet the Mishnah Torah, Minolan de Darish, the Sanya Rabbi Eliezer, Omer, Nosi Adam Anusa Savi Mefutas Savi, Anusas Beno Mefutas Beno, Rabbi Yehuda Oser. Now this is something that is familiar to us from the beginning of Yevamos. When we learned the first parak of Yevamos, we spent a lot of time on this sugya. It's Rabbi Yehuda telling us that you're not permitted to marry the woman that had a sexual relationship with your father, even though they were never married, even though the Chumash doesn't ever say it that way. But because of the way the Chumash does say it, there's a smichus of lo yigalek knaf aviv to the din of my time of the Rebbe Yehuda, dechsiv lo yikach yishas eishas aviv, v'lo yigalek knaf aviv, knaf shera aviv lo yigalek. How do you see that? Mimaydi b'anusas aviksiv, desamach lei, v'nasan ha'isha shechev ima, chamishim shekel. That the Pasuk says regarding, I think this is mefateh, although it's possible it's onus, that it says, that's the Pasuk that's next to the Pasuk about lo yikach, lo yigalek knaf aviv, and that you see that that's referring to a non-married relationship. So you see Rabbi Yehuda accepts with respect to Sefer Devarim smuchin, even though that's a drasha called smichus, and that is Rabbi Yehuda accepts the validity of that drasha. So you see that Devarim is different, which means, coming all the way back to the beginning of this question, Rabbi Yehuda does not deny the legitimacy of making the drasha of smuchin and Sefer Devarim, and that could have been legitimate for Rabbi Yehuda also. So what's going on in the Mishnah that Rabbi Yehuda seems to deny it? So Amri Yehuda, the Mishnah Torah is Darish. V'hani smuchim niboyle liyad after Rabbi Yehuda ben Levi. The only reason why Rabbi Yehuda denies Takadas Ezra seems to be because of a different drasha that he makes from it. Namely, Dam Rabbi Yehuda kolam alamid lebenot Torah, ma'ali alav akasev, ki'ilu kibla mehar chorev, shenemar v'atatam levenecha v'levenei venecha, k'sibas rei, yom asherem adatel lefenei shem elkecha bechorev. Okay, it's interesting that the fact that you could make such a kind of an agadic drasha to replace a potentially halachic drasha, and that's considered to be a legitimate substitution. All right, everybody, let's stop here.